how things were handed to me. And I would find ways to get around things, and I would manipulate people and situations to, you know, get my way. And I carried that, unfortunately, into my marriage. And, excuse me, been struggling, you know. I struggle with those defects every day. And they become apparent. They really become quite magnified, I think, in a sort of the microcosm of my relationship. It's been one of those things where it's been very hard, I think, to be as honest as I could possibly be. The honesty part and is something that never ever really came naturally to me, and so it damaged, you know, my relationship from the very, very beginning, because I had lied, I had cheated, and done all these things that were, you know, in secret, and I really was just so sick. I was just so sick, and I couldn't manage a lot of things, both at work and at home. So these negative emotions, you know, I learned in the rooms, you know, could be managed, but I had to work the steps. And, you know, in working the steps and finding a higher power that I could surrender my defects to was just, you know, the very beginning of things. Surrendering my defects helped a lot, but the actions of actually carrying that out, I think, at home was a completely different story. That has taken me years, and I'm still working on it. And it is about progress, not perfection, for me. The idea that I will ever be able to get rid of these defects has—I have no doubt that I will never be able to get rid of them. It's just a matter of being able to surrender it to my higher power, to recognize what they are, and to make my amends, you know, to my wife when I've been wrong. So now there's been a lot of healing because I've been able to turn on myself, to hold the mirror and realize that I am the problem, but I'm also the solution. I have the ability to have a better relationship with my wife, but it does require honesty. It requires having faith in my higher power, and most importantly, it requires me to work my program. Going to meetings really helped me take some of that shame off of me, as was shared last night. By our speaker, the essay speaker, you know, I held on to some secrets that I really didn't want to share with my wife, and when I started to bring it out into meetings, and sharing with other people, that's when I was able to slowly kind of start sharing more with my wife. So in the meetings, that's where I learned to be more vulnerable. I was where I learned to be more honest. And being in fellowship and having the grace that others showed me, and not shunning me or looking at me like I'm like a total pervert, you know, that gave me the safety that I needed. It gave me the love that I needed. It gave me the support that I needed. And as was shared earlier by my partner here, my wife doesn't have a problem with the porn or, you know, any of the other stuff necessarily per se. It's the lying and the covering up that is the most damaging. And it's the betrayal of not being upfront and honest. And so, as painful as it is sometimes for me to be honest about where I am in my program, or even just about just anything that my wife might ask me, as something as benign as, you know, what would you like to eat tonight? Or how do you feel about going to, you know, this place for dinner? I used to, I sort of not really speak my mind. I really wouldn't be honest about that. I mean, something that simple, you know, I would lie about dumb things. What time is it? And it's those little things, right, that I realize now that make all the difference. And being consistent about it has been the key. And the grace, you know, for me, I have to allow myself a certain amount of grace. My disease has been with me for decades. I realize that it's not going to go away over the matter of days, weeks, months, or even years. And forgive myself for a lot of the things that I had done, both to myself, to my wife, and to a lot of other people in my life. And there is healing, you know? There is healing at the end of the road, or at least on the journey, I should say. At the end of the road is happy destiny, trying to get there. but yeah, trudging that road to happy destiny, you know, grace has been, I've needed that grace, and by the grace of my higher power, my wife has given me a lot of grace. And my wife isn't here today. She's also in the program. And you know, we've given each other a certain amount of grace because we're both working. You know, we're both perfectly imperfect human beings who have deep-seated flaws, defects, character traits, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, we're both just working, you know, to be better people. For each other and for those, you know, around us. And this program has saved our marriage. We've come very, very close to splitting up, you know, going to divorce many times. And but we keep coming back because we see the experience, strength, and hope in the people here in these rooms, and we hear it from speakers. And so I just want to say, you know, that you're in the right place if you're new, and if you're not new, you're in the right place. And with that, I'll pass, and thanks for letting me share. I think I probably went over also, and I apologize.
Mic check.
So, yeah. If anybody would like to share, we would love to hear just whatever your take is on the readings. So I'll come down. Oh, actually, yeah. Okay. Looks like Richard will give you a microphone then up here. Thank you, Richard.
Hi, my name's Peter. I'm a sexaholic. I guess this is on. I can't hear it being on, but I guess it just tapes. So I've never been to a joint meeting like this before. Whoa, there we go. I've never been to this, so I'm, it's weird. I just feel very weird talking to all of you. But I felt like I had to talk after this because I was like laughing really loud at Shannon's share and no one else was laughing. And I feel bad, but I could just relate to, because I was not married, and I sort of thought that you know, I'm, you know, someone who would ever marry me would win the lottery because I'm such a wholesome person, except for this little problem. That was sort of how I thought. And I started having all kinds of problems with life and went to therapy and kind of one thing after another, and realized that what I thought was my little problem was really, you know, sinking my whole life, basically. But I think there was grace for me. There's been this theme of grace in the sharings, and I think the grace in that was because I was so incapable of making decisions, I couldn't decide about something like marriage. So I wasn't... I didn't get into marriage while still before I found the program. But I eventually, after several years of recovery, got married. So anyway, I don't know what else I had to share, really, but that was kind of a bit my story. But it's good to hear about what's going on in people's marriages, and I'll admit one thing, and this thing about the microcosm, I'm not sharing about the reading so much as the shares. I'm not quite following the instructions, but in the shares, the talk about I'm sorry, I forgot your name,
Jason.
This microcosm of the defects coming out in the marriage, and so that is a lot of work. And I guess that's grace. That's what people always say. I'll just be very specific. One thing that comes up a lot for me is if there seems to be a defect, I immediately go to like describing the sequence of events that led to what happens that explains it. And that my wife finds very annoying. And I know I have the tendency to, I've always done it, to try to blame it on something else. So there I go again. Sometimes it seems pretty airtight, but I don't know. But it has helped. I've been working on the steps and especially at doing 10 steps to look back at, okay, if it's really bothering me, there probably is something that, you know, I did, and then I need to, and then I can make amends for it. So anyway, thanks.
I'll come over here so I can look at you guys. I'm very uncomfortable with a mic, but this is so spread out. Will you make sure you time me? Because I don't even like this. I look like I'm really comfortable. I'm not. I'm Karen. I'm from Carlsbad, San Diego, grateful member of Essanon. I want to first say thank you for your vulnerability and sharing. I love the readings. I've been married 34 years, and I've been in this program for 27 years. So most of my marriage I've been in SA and Essanon and coming to conferences. A month into my, you know, disclosure and blindsided, and this thing hit me like a Mack truck, I found my sponsor said, go to the convention. I was like, the last thing I wanted to do is be around sexaholism. I wasn't sure I wanted to be in my own family. But I came, and I'm so grateful I did, because I heard people like me who were just shattered. And I also heard the beauty of the essays. And that's what, it wasn't just about my husband. It was, I was willing to learn. I could always have I always had an exit plan in the beginning. But I had so much shame even coming, like I was connected to this. How could I be connected to this? And, you know, I do believe it's a disease. And I also believe I have a disease that I was attracted to it. And like the speaker in my program, I have addictions all over. I'm an addict in another program. So I had the 12 steps, didn't save me from this. I just moth to a flame. But coming in here with shame for like what, right? And I like the reading that you read, Shannon, about I'm only as sick as my secrets. I think I used to think my husband really liked the fact that I had defects and I was not the perfect one. I was not the better one, right? I didn't do sexaholism. No, I am a defective person just like everybody else. You know, just needed we were a marriage made in heaven. We definitely are polar opposites and we are so good together. And I'm grateful that we both stuck it out. I used to do 2 steps forward, 10 steps back, but coming to the convention and listening to speakers today, I keep coming back, has been grace for me. I love my husband. I read the white book. I was suggested I read the white book. I love my literature too, to learn more, because I didn't know what I was dealing with. I didn't know if I could survive this. And just like you guys, I had my own shame and how I don't hear my story very often. I was the good, pious, didn't have sex before marriage, and I married a sexaholic. I mean, and then I went, God, this is not funny. You are timing me, right? Because I'll go on. I'll do my stand-up. No. But what was so good about it for me was that it brought me to a level, And I danced around. I had my own secrets, you know, everything but, right? I had a lot of shame about before my marriage. But I'm a good person just like my husband. You know, all fall short, the glory of God is like a mantra I used to say. And so for today, I just keep coming back and learning. I believe my higher power, my God of my understanding, has so much grace for me, brought me here. My marriage is better for being here. We go to a couples program too. It's like we're 12-step city. And I hope my kids, we have three, find their way, even if it's whichever program they go to, because the 12 steps are such a victorious way to life. And with that, I'll stop because you can see I'm just going off. So who else wants to share? Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nahid. As usual, I take the microphone without quite knowing what am I going to say. But I will begin. Thank you, the leaders. Wonderful to hear you. I have been married for 43 years. And talking about secrets, at first it was my husband wasn't really, I thought the attraction between us is so strong that it will make us overcome any problem in our marriage. So any attraction he has out there is going to go because I am such a star. And that started fading away very quickly and feeling quite diminished before too long. At first, it was the shame of, okay, things, I am finding out more and more stuff, relationships and boundaries that are broken, people that he gets attracted to. The timing, somebody was sharing last night in one of the speakers, that, oh my God, I was pregnant with the first child. And even now, thinking about that pains me. That how can we do this to our, because my children are quite, very, very important. And to him, he too. But like everybody has talked about, it is a disease. And then it is first, it is the shame of I'm married to a sex addict. Then that he has a secret. Then pretty soon realizing that I have a secret. I am married to a sex addict. And then after finding out that I have to carry the secret because I don't want to know other people to know what I'm going through, I am carrying that shame. And then coming to the program to realize what has brought me to be attracted to the sex addict and to have stayed in the marriage. And even up to this day, I think it is, for me, it was the better of the two choices, to stay or to go, that I stayed, because I had broken parts in me that would have prevented me to experience or explore myself or the full life without this mirror of a husband who shows me my brokenness, my shortcomings, my despair for the love that I'm seeking, that actually goes back to the seeking the love of the Father that has brought me to this attraction. So it is. So that is where I guess the grace comes. That this program is, even though it is not perfect solution, it is making sense. It is showing me that, I am not crazy. Certain pieces have come together and have created this life for me. And now, whatever tiny piece I can move tomorrow to make it better, I have had a victorious day. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mark. I'm a sexaholic. When I was about 9 years old, I had found a jar of pennies in my parents' car, glove compartment. And I took it. And I took it inside the house, and my mother said, "Where did you get that jar of pennies?" and I lied. I said, I found it on the street. But she knew I was lying. And I got probably one of the worst spankings I ever gotten at that age. And what I found is that there's probably a dozen kind of those instances that occurred when I was that age of where, you know, I had secrets, I'd lied, I had shame, and what I call my shame history, you know, as a child, which when I look back on it, it actually, I brought that into my adulthood and the secrets that I kept and, you know, and the shame that was associated with it. So what I've found as part of the program is that the more I share, you know, the less the power that those secrets have on me and the less of the shame that I carry with it. It really is, you know, things that I thought I would never share, I would never say until I would take it to my grave. But I've shared them. And, you know, it certainly has made me lighter and has helped me to bridge this secret life, you know, this double life that essayers always talk about, into more of like a one person. And if, you know, I can feel, you know, less guilt, less weight on me, and shame that's associated with that. So, you know, my wife Shannon, and we both brought our shame histories. So we've been able to, you know, to share those with each other, and I think make the load lighter for each of us in our journey as we move forward. Thanks for letting me share.
It's kind of funny because I've only been in this program since March, and I reset my sobriety date August 30th, and I've had a sponsor about a month now, and I'm only still working my step zero. But I've been a cradle Catholic my entire life, and so when we talk about like grace and surrender, that's the thing that has given me the most difficulty in this program, because I didn't understand for like the first 90 days of technical sobriety, like what that meant to surrender. And this morning I went to a meeting about acceptance. And I forget what the other half of it was, except belonging, thank you. And just kind of feeling like my entire life after, you know, meetings with my CSAT and reading about the literature, just kind of feeling like, where do I really belong? And with my family and attending church and just the shame that I've had. So it's really good for me to hear all of these shares, and I appreciate it. But at the same time, like, I'm still trying to work with grace and giving myself grace. And my sponsor tells me that, and like my morning DSR partner, every morning since March, I've talked with the lady from Arizona, like at 5:45 in the morning. And, you know, she'll tell me to give myself grace. And it's kind of like, I don't know what you mean. And I just started working this fall. And so I feel like, okay, is grace giving myself flexibility? Is grace kind of like, okay, I'm really tired and I have to deal with these 6 and 7 year olds all day. So I'm gonna give myself grace and I'm gonna be patient. But how do I give myself grace in my recovery? Because as it is, I feel like I barely have time for my recovery. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful for the program and the women that have come into my life because of it. But I'm still dealing with how to overcome the shame and be at the point of grace. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Shannon. I had a lot of shame about the kind of mother that I was as I waited for 6 years to decide to stay. Our son was 2.5 or 3, and our daughter was 5. And it's so exciting, you know? They're 30 and 28 now, and I think, wow, you know, I've come a long way in my program. And like I said earlier, it just was a gift. You know, I felt like my higher power really prepared me. And I would say the most growth for me has been in the last 5 years. And the, you know, the way the steps are, of course. Step 12, after having a spiritual awakening, every time I had a new concept of my higher power, and it, you know, it happened again and again, because where I am in my program only takes me that far, and because the last 5 years have been good for me, and I actually was in program. I was in program already, because I had been, you know. And then I found out 1.5 years ago that my husband was acting out. And so that really, I'm so thankful. But the work that I've done with my higher power, the work that I've done with my sponsor, and like others, you know, learning to give myself grace. And that happens with the kids. You know, I go back to the kids whenever I think about something that, you know, I've done or not done, because I was clinically depressed. And, you know, I apologize, and they're like, why do you say that? You were a good mom. And it's taken me a little while to accept that, you know, because with Essanon, as coming in as an Essanon because of all of my upbringing, you know, I thought I'm a terrible person because I've done all these other things. And so with my kids, they've just been so gracious. And so then I'm brought to thinking back the things that I did do. And I was a good mom. I am a good mom. It's just that it has taken me this long to really accept that I wasn't a terrible mom. And the fact that they say that, and then so along the way, if I think of something, I just approach them and I say, you know, I'm really sorry that this happened. And I've also made it very clear that they can come to me and tell me anything and say, you know, this really hurt my feelings. And because I've always said, if there's something, like, bring it to the table. Let's get it. Anyway, that's not my sexaholic, you know, because we practice these principles in all our affairs. It's just kind of who we are. Thank you for letting me share.
I'm Jason, sexaholic. I'll just share again just real quickly, because in listening to all of your shares, which always inspires me to like think of different things. For me, you know, I think that what prevented me from progressing in my recovery as a sexaholic was the shame. Shame is toxic. Guilt is not. Guilt is better. It's good in that it allows me to understand that there's something I can do to make things right, that I'm not a bad person. You know, shame is like, I'm a bad person, and guilt is, I'm a good person that did something wrong or incorrectly or made a mistake. And releasing the shame to my higher power, expressing the secrets or whatever shameful thoughts or actions I may have had, putting it out into the light, that has been just the most important thing, I think, for me, because the more I keep inside, that toxicity of shame builds up. And I think that's also why this reading, at least from the essay white book, talks about going to meetings, because at every meeting I'm given an opportunity to share. I'm given an opportunity to talk about what's bothering me. And I have a choice when I go to those meetings. I can participate or I can be there, but actually not be there. And, you know, mentally. And I can actually isolate within a meeting. It's very easy for me to do that. And so today, when I go to my meetings, no matter what type of meeting it happens to be, sometimes they're meditation meetings and sometimes they are, you know, just book study meetings, I feel like that's an opportunity for me to bring things out. And sometimes it's not even like something that I would think that is all that important or, you know, what I thought maybe I could kind of just get over, but I just bring it out, no matter how small it is, because every little bit counts, at least in my recovery. And that way, I'm not holding on to it. I don't bring it home and take it out on my wife. A lot of things go sideways when I basically am holding things in. So it's wonderful that I'm in this program. I feel like this program has been just, like I said before, just an absolute gift. And as was shared by another member in the audience, it really has given me a roadmap as far as what I can do to, you know, see my way around the world, just, you know, having a map, actually. Because before, I think I was pretty directionless. My life was just like whatever happened, and whatever I wanted to do, that's what I did. And but now, no, there's some direction. I know when I'm veering off the road, when I'm not, you know, on the right path. So, with that, I'll pass. That's it. Thanks.
I wanted to talk about grace. I struggle with it. The great title for the meeting, Shame to Grace. And when I am deep in my shame, and I'm 64, I've been sober for 3 years. I'm still working on step one, a long way to go. But I remind myself of the folks who have laid the path ahead of me, that have created this program, programs, plural. That's grace. You know, even when I'm deep in my shame, I remember, you know, that's a gift from God. That's grace. My first wife and my kids, they still love me. That's grace. That's not earned. That's grace. My current wife, soon to be my ex-wife, she still loves me. And that's grace. So I cling to those things. When I feel the deep shame for the hurt, harm that I've done to myself and others. And that's just God's grace helping me. So thanks for being here and having the session and provoking the thought. Thank you.
I'll say something. I'm Shannon. This is just real quick. The first time, I waited around to see if he was going to change because it just wasn't working. And, you know, I would stay 3 months at a time, like I said, for 6 years. But after 2.5 years, I was like, my sponsor said, when you're ready to get off the merry-go-round, you will. And so I finally decided he's not going to change. He cannot sustain what he's doing. And so I drove over to close to where he works. We had lunch together, and I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I said, I love you. I'll always love you. That's not the question. I can't live like this anymore. And it's been the same thing this time. You know, I said, I'm not going to do this again. Like, this is not my first rodeo. And I wanted a divorce. And that was the extreme of detachment. And as I see the change in him and the consistency, and then also the change in me, how we're learning better to relate as a couple, my detachment got a little bit less rigid. You know, I went from divorce to legal separation. And then I got to just separation. And then, you know, we're really spending a lot of time together, but still have boundaries. And then he's living at home now. And he's, you know, we're not sharing the same room, but that's like a lot better than the extreme detachment that I had. So each time I was just doing what I needed to do for me. Thank you.
All right, Jason Sexaholic. All right, I think we're just about to come to the end here. So this is an anonymous program. We ask all members to respect our anonymity. The stories you hear are told in confidence and should not be repeated outside the meeting, including to spouses or family members. All right. Okay. We'll close the meeting. Oh, perfect timing. All right. So we'll close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. After a moment of silence. Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Thank you, God. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here this morning. We're grateful that you're all here, and I love seeing all these happy, you know, smiling faces, and a lot of them familiar. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our stories with you, and we look forward to meeting you out in fellowship and in the hallways. All right.